EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was anybody at above us to pass us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's American 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Do we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And a dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from tonight. Our guest this episode is Brian from California. Brian has had a number of sightings from a very early age. Many strange experiences he will be sharing with us tonight. Now, I would like to thank Cobber19 and CatMom120 for leaving excellent 5-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. It really helps the show to be more visible for future listeners and future guests. Guys, message me your postal addresses and I will send you both bumper stickers of the show. And also a big thank you and a welcome to Jeff, our newest supporter on Patreon. I really appreciate it, and it also keeps the show going. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, you have probably noticed this is an extra episode this week. I will try to add a second in here and there. I'm getting a lot of witness accounts now, so the more episodes I can get out, the better. And on that note, before we hear from Brian, we're going to pop over to Tijuana, Mexico for Jason's submission.
Hi, my name is Jason, and I wanted to call in to share something. This is a story I've heard all my life because it happened when I was a baby, like not even a year old. So this would have been sometime in 1976, and my mom has told this story numerous times to friends and family when we'd get to talking about weird things. And she said that when I was a baby, she had a friend that was taking her and I home, and we were traveling down this road, and she said that there was a bright light that came in the sky, and they thought it was very strange looking, and they decided to follow it. And so they followed it down a highway. I think it was Highway 60 in South Central Missouri. And they came to a lumber mill. And when they got there, it disappeared out of the sky. And she said that it was just very strange, very weird. They didn't know what it was or anything at the time. It just kind of freaked them out a little bit. And I asked her now, I said, do you have any ideas now looking back on it? And she said that she thinks it really probably could have been some kind of military aircraft or test aircraft or something that they were testing. She didn't know. She said it was just weird that it disappeared completely, you know, it just all of a sudden. And the only thing I know in that area would be, I mean, it's not super close, but it's Fort Leonard Wood in Missouri. So it's probably close enough that it could have been, if they had some kind of aircraft there. I don't know what all they do there. So I don't think I got aircraft there or not, but that could have been something that came from there. Also of interest in the area there where I'm from is in the 50s, I think it was, there was a man named Buck Nelson. and he had claimed that he had been abducted by aliens and taken to Venus, and he even had a book about it that he put out. And they there for several years, I think there was even a yearly get together near his property or on his property where he would have people come out and they would talk about different things like UFOs, and he became kind of a local celebrity, and I don't know, maybe a little bit on the national stage a little bit. I'm not sure about that, but yeah, I just wanted to share that. Thanks.
Thanks, Jason. We will be hearing more from Jason soon with some of his own personal experiences. Welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks for doing what you do.
It's great to have you on today. I really appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
And you're from California.
I am. I'm from the state capital. I've lived all over California, but currently living in the capital.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, you're going to be sharing some very strange experiences with us today. Would you like to start the beginning for us, please, Brian?
Sure. Kind of the interesting thing, at least for me in these last couple of days, I've been kind of contemplating this and going through it again, is that the further back I look in my life, I find more the further back I go. And I think that the very first thing that I can recall is, and I'll tell you, part of the reason that some of this stuff is so difficult for me to talk about or even put into a a good timeline is because it is all so varied, and there's a part of me that wants to do it as a timeline. There's a part of me that wants to categorize the types of experiences. So it gets it's befuddling to me to try to get it all out. I think my very first kind of strange experience happened when I had to be, two or three. And I had it was actually a very strange, this I would call a dream, where I was, pursued by this kind of shadow figure, maybe a 6 foot tall shadow figure that just terrorized me in a dream. But the reason I find that compelling now is because I've had that experience with this sort of entity or whatever throughout my life at different intervals, where the sleep paralysis and something in my room coming to me, feeling like it's sinister in some way. I can't move. I can't scream. I'm a victim to it, and I can finally break out of it. And that's something that's persisted throughout my life. I have no insight into what that is. I've heard about other people having those experiences. I can just tell you that it's very real. It's especially in later life as an adult. It certainly was not dreams. It certainly still feels like a presence, and it feels like a presence that has absolute control over me when it wants to, as far as keeping me in place and not allowing me to communicate or move. But that's all there is around those things. I'll tell you too that the reason I'm even talking about this is honestly because of Lou Elizondo coming out and speaking about the UFOs and the government studying them and seeing the footage. It just really woke something up in me or kind of made me reassess my life and some of my experiences. And then when I stumbled upon some of Jacques Vallée's opinions about how experiencers often we look for the nuts and bolts and what was the UFO and those kinds of things. We forget about the experiencer, what they've experienced leading up to and after. And his opinion is just sometimes very paranormal right before and even after. So it really got me thinking about, well, what is it that I've been going through? What is this thing? What are these things that have been happening to me? And maybe this fits into it somehow. And so I've been starting to share a little bit more. I talked to Robert Hastings a while back, who wrote a novel on UFOs and nukes. And then Deep Prasad the other day on, he's a physicist out of Toronto, the other day someone asked him about coming out about his experiences, and isn't he afraid? And he said, you know, stigmas are for chumps. And that really resonated with me. And I don't like the feeling of being controlled by pressure and opinions and that sort of thing. So I've just kind of decided I'm going to start sharing this stuff. And so I'll tell you the most powerful, one of the most powerful experiences I've had, and one that really woke me up personally to paranormal things being real, I guess, was when I was reading Goethe's Faust. And the second part of it, it's got this really weird, about this really weird festival with spirits and all this kind of thing. And I was on vacation with my wife in France, and I'm going to sleep and I'm not asleep. And I see these five, but they look like stones in my mind, and they've got strange symbols on them. And I immediately thought, I mean, I remember thinking, wow, this is really weird. You know, it's got these three floating stones. I thought, those are symbols, but I can't read those. And I remember feeling a sense of disappointment. Well, immediately the symbols on the stones, they look like runes or something like that. They started morphing, and not into anything I could identify now, but I realized I could understand them. And the first one, and it took me a moment for each one. It was like I had to almost like digest what it was representing. And the first one, the first symbol was all. The second one was souls. The third one was gaze, I think. That's the best I can do. I realized even then that I was thinking that, or feeling, sensing that this not the right concept, but it's as close as I can find myself to it. The next one was gaze upwards. All souls gaze upwards. And the last one was forever. All souls gaze upwards forever. And when the forever one unlocked for me, it was like I was catapulted out of my body, right out of my mouth. It felt like almost like my soul, my spirit, my ethereal body. I don't know what any of that stuff actually is. I can just tell you what it felt like. It felt like I was catapulted out of my body into a larger space. And I immediately woke up. You know, it's kind of, you see it in the movies when people kind of sit up and they've lost their breath. It was exactly that. And my wife looked at me like, you know, what was that? And I also said, what in the hell was that? That was my first kind of adult experience with something out of the ordinary, when I felt like it was a message from somewhere else. Some time passed, and another one that I felt like was a message from another place, wherever that may be. Was it occurred in a lucid dream, and I don't have lucid dreams really. I just every now and again, I had a dream in which I realized I was dreaming, and I thought, wow, I wonder if, for whatever reason, I wonder if I can read something here. And so, of course, there's a door next to me, and I go into the door, and there's books everywhere. It's like a bookstore. You know, it's a dream. You get to kind of have those things happen when you want them, I guess. And so I start picking up all these books to read these books and to see if I can find anything in them. And I was very disappointed to find that it's just all a bunch of blurry letters, like a low, like an old video game. It looked exactly like that, like a video game that's representing text, but it's not actually text, just like these kind of blurry symbols. And I thought, oh, that's such a bummer. I really wanted to see if I could read something. And I started walking around the store, and I walk around the edge, and I see these old books. And I picked one of those up and I opened it, and I could read it. It was clear and crystal clear writing. And it was poetry. Shortly after that, I woke up and I can remember part of it. I was able to bring, to me, this is incredible. I was able to bring a portion of a poem out of a dream. And the stanza that I can remember is, walk with the chosen wall by wall and find it was a prison after all. And it's just such a profound to me personally. And believe me, I've Googled the hell out of that. And every line of it, I've Googled to think I've read that somewhere before. And I remembered it. I can't find it anywhere. I can't find anything remotely like that anywhere. And I studied literature growing up too. So it's, you know, I thought Again, I thought it must have come from somewhere, but I can't find it. I apply that a lot in my life. I really do. It's been a very help. Both of those messages have been very helpful to me with within my own belief system. And I feel like they were a gift from somewhere. I don't know that any of this goes back. Something I didn't mention, and I'm sorry, I kind of jump around, Nick, a little bit, but something I didn't mention prior is when I was a young man, I had UFO sightings, I should say, not really experiences, but sightings. And one was, again, I was very young. I couldn't have been older than four because I had moved from our particular house, and my memory is from that home. And I remember my father was in the backyard. There was a quote unquote prowler that was around. So my dad had gone in the backyard to see if, make sure everything was safe. And I looked up in the sky and there was this craft, man, just floating along, making no noise with lights on it, going around the bottom. It almost looked like a genie bottle with lights rotating around the bottom of it. And it apparently, it really affected me. And I screamed and made a bunch of ruckus and noise and wanted my dad to come back inside, which he did. That's really all to that story. And then, you know, years later, as you get older, you don't know if you did I really see something, you know, was that, do I remember that as I think, is my memory correct? My dad's in his 80s now. And the other day we really don't see each other much. And so it really must've impacted him because out of nowhere, he just goes, can I ask you something? I said, sure. He goes, when you were a little boy, did you really see a UFO that night? And then he's asking me this 46 years later. And I said, yeah, I really think I did see something that night. And then about 5 years later, maybe 4 or 5 years later, we had moved and I was out front at night playing around, I guess, as a kid would do. And here comes two orbs right over me. They almost looked like they were connected, but they weren't. They kind of moved in tandem, went right over the top of me. And off it went, scared the heck out of me. I ran inside telling my parents I'd seen a UFO. Of course, they thought it was an airplane, but they were very like, the orbs were very like what you see in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I mean, precisely like that, except they look like they're connected by something that you couldn't see because, again, they moved kind of in tandem. I've had some interesting, this part is a little more difficult for me to talk about just because it's a little more personal because it involves people that I've known that have passed. I've had some weird things happen there too. So I had a friend of mine when I was a teenager, he killed himself. And so I had this dream and here's my friend. He's walking down the street and it's foggy. And a lot of these little kind of dream state ones, it's strange. It's always foggy. And here's my friend walking along and he's very morose. And I asked him, I'm like, geez, are you back? Have you come back to us? And he said, he looks at me, he says, don't do it. I said, well, what do you mean? He says, don't do it. And he goes, if you do it, you can never go there. And he just walked away. And later in life, in my late teens, I did go through some very tough times, I think as many of us do. And I had some thoughts that probably I shouldn't have about continuing life. And that may have saved me. I don't know. Another time, my grandmother who passed away, I was just having a regular dream. And it was exactly like, and I've had two of these, and this is one of them, exactly like back in the old days when we had regular televisions before we had flat screens and you had the bunny ears. Sometimes you'd have a crossover of channels somehow. And I was having a dream, and it was like my grandmother who had recently passed hacked into the dream, man. I can't describe it otherwise. And it was almost like the snow that you see on a channel that you're not receiving, just that snow. And then her speaking to me through that. And it's very personal. I don't really want to share that message. It was a very personal message to me, but it synced up with things later in my life. And then lastly, there was an experience I had with my stepfather who had passed, and he was like my dad. And night after night after night, I kept, just like in the movies, the covers being pulled off my bed, off my body, my bed being jostled. And finally, I felt like someone had climbed in bed with me as I wasn't even asleep yet. And it was like when that weight touched me. It was like being electrocuted. It was insane. So I did some research and did some praying for my stepfather to tell him he had to go on, and it stopped, but not before I had another one of these kind of strange dreamlike, not really dreaming, but they're like visions. This one's a little hard for me to recall, but what I can recall from it very, very vividly was an image of all of humanity. All of humanity existed in this great ball of energy or consciousness that was possibly eternal. All of us connected in one great orb of life force, I guess, or consciousness or something. And you would see identities rise up out of this orb, like it'd be the Brian identity. And it lasts for a while, and then it falls back in. And then another one rises up and falls back in. And so I have my suspicions what that is referring to, but I don't like to put my interpretations on it. I just prefer to, unless asked, but I prefer to just sort of share what the image was, and because I realize the rest of it's my interpretation. Very recently, more recently, another kind of a very impactful dreamlike state. I was, there's two of them. One was going into a meditative state, been trying to meditate more. I went into a meditative state. The next thing I know, it's like you pop through to something. You pop through to another sort of consciousness. And I did. Very rarely that this happens, and it's nothing I can do. It's something that happens, if that makes any sense. And so I just kind of pop through, and all of a sudden I'm in a area with a not really much of a landscape, but electric blue sky, and it is blue, like computer screen blue. I was like, I remember thinking, that's not real. This is, you know, I'm kind of trying to figure out what's going on. Like that looks computerized, you know. And here comes a black triangle, and it's a craft. It's flying over me, but it's black. It's unnaturally black. It's not like any black that I've ever seen naturally. It's like an absolute void of anything but blackness. And it's kind of passing over me. And I was excited because by now I've kind of learned more about the UFO topic, and we've all seen or heard of, I've never seen a triangle prior, but we've all heard of the black triangle that people have seen. And I go, I see you. And I point at it, and it stops, slightly turns toward me in a way that I interpret as it acknowledged me. And then the most terrifying thing happened, and it was as though, it felt like electromagnetism, although I've never experienced that in my life, so I don't know how I would know this, but it felt that way. And it felt like my body was being held in place, and then there was another part of it that was reaching into me and trying to pull me out of myself. And in my email to Nick, this is a bad description of it, but the best I can do is if your soul or your essence were made out of metal shavings and someone turned on an industrial magnet and tried to rip that out of you, that's what it felt like. And it was terrifying. And I remember trying to hold on to myself, if that makes any sense, trying to keep that part of me within me, and praying. And finally, I was able to free myself with it and bring myself out of the meditative state. And again, just kind of go, what was that? And then actually prior to that, I had one where, sometimes I've just kind of shown these strange images. And what it was appeared to be our universe from the outside. And it looked like just this big cloud of stars and explosions. And, you know, it's hard to put words around it, but maybe you can imagine just this great cloud that's kind of rotating around itself, almost like in a that symbol that represents infinity, something similar to that. Somehow it was made known to me that, you know, not in words, but somehow concepts that are communicated that it never started and it never ends. It just always cycles. And I don't know exactly what to make of that, but it is what it is. And then that got hacked, like I had mentioned with my grandma. Again, it's the same, very same thing where it seemed like it was another channel coming through. It looked like a gray alien that you see and you hear about. It said, communicated to me. There's no saying. It's just like these concepts that are all of a sudden become known to you that we can take you at any time. And it was that same kind of feeling, like it was starting to pull me through. It was very, again, very disturbing and very frightening. It felt like my physical self, just like in the other one, my physical self was going to stay in one place and another part of me was going to be taken to another place. In moments like that, I pray. I think I'm more religious than I want to admit to myself, because I find myself in these situations. That's my go-to. And so I prayed and I was able to break myself out of it and come out of it. And again, just kind of, you know, the standard, holy crap, what was that? kind of response. And then I guess my most recent was just the other night. I was, again, going into meditative state, and had my whatever, again, nothing I can do. Just sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. I just kind of pop through to another place, another mode of consciousness, I guess. There's some things that happen that I can't really remember, but very clearly, I remember seeing an MRI of a brain, and it was my brain, and it was cycling through. You know, it's kind of like how the MRIs, you see them, they can kind of go different layers of a brain, and it looks like this kind of moving animation as it cycles through different levels of your brain. And it showed me two egg-like structures in my mind. And I was in my brain, and I was given the idea that that's where your consciousness occurs, or that's where it's interpreted, or that's where it's put together. So I woke up from that, and I thought, they look like eardrums. And I was thinking, that makes no sense. My reality or my experiences put together by my eardrums made no sense. And actually, when I saw those egg shapes, they were vibrating or sending off energy, or it's hard to, again, put words to it. But if I could animate it for you, you'd imagine two structures in a brain on an MRI that are of three dimensions, and they are radiating off some kind of funky energy. So later that day, I had the strangest synchronicity where I was searching for something else on the internet. I don't even remember what I was looking for, frankly. And all of a sudden, I find myself reading about the thalamus. And doggone it, if when I looked at images of the thalamus, it is two egg-like, egg-shaped structures in your brain. And as I now know, and I do not work in the medical field, so this is very rudimentary understanding, of course, is it's the kind of the relay station of the senses. We take in information through our five senses, comes the thalamus, and then is sectioned off to different parts of our brain for interpretation and response. But what I was being shown, I felt, was that that's where reality is formed for us. And here's, be very clear that this is now me interpreting what I think I was being shown. I think that we can be hacked. I think it's somehow through the thalamus. And that's just, again, my interpretation. Another of these.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Meditative dreamlike states that I had. This goes back. I know I'm jumping around, Nick, and I apologize, but this one goes, this is further back. And it, dreamlike state, I'm in a house and it's more real than real. Like, I don't know if this makes sense to anyone who's listening to this, but it's cleaner, clearer imagery. It's better than vision. And in this dream state, more detail, I can see better. It's like your vision is hypersensitive. See grains of sand. If you're on a beach with greater detail, you can see grains in wood. Anyway, I'm in this house. It's strange. There's something sinister about it. I don't know why, but there's something sinister about it. And it's like I'm touring the house, out of body kind of thing, where I'm kind of touring the house. It's an older house. It's kind of dark. And I'm just know there's another presence there. And it seems sinister, for lack of a better term. And I'm shown like a little girl. I know that it's not a little girl. It's something else. And this something else is very aware. For the life of me, I have such trouble getting the concept out about what I sense from this little girl. But she seemed, I don't want to say all-knowing, but certainly plugged into something that's much bigger than myself, much more powerful than myself, much more knowledgeable than myself, and much more, you know, more powerful and therefore kind of sinister. And then all of a sudden I'm sort of transported up into a room, and I know there's something else outside, and I'm looking around, and I can't see what it is, but I know it's there. And I start getting kind of freaked out. So I start trying to pull myself out of the state. And when I do, I wake up and I look to my left, and there is something there, and it's some sort of an entity. And it's made up of glowing X's, is my best way to describe it. If you imagine a person that is translucent, but their shape, there is made up of a whole bunch of glowing X's. And it's attached to me. It's attached to me at my throat, on my left-hand side, right where I think that's the jugular. And at my arm, at the crux of my arm where my elbow is, I had the sense that it was providing me with this dream, with this image, with this lesson. I don't want to say lesson. It's not right. This symbol, I don't know what it was, but it was something. And so I completely was freaked out, prayed. I didn't want this stuff anymore. I asked God to take it away from me forever. And really, I didn't have another experience like that for years until recently, when I started kind of reaching back out into it. My very last thing that I guess I'll share with you was years ago, and this is when there were some terrorist attacks in Spain, and I had this, again, dream state, and it was my wife and I, and we were underground, and there was smoke everywhere. My wife was afraid, and I was telling her it was going to be okay, and there's red and blue lights blinking. Something bad had happened, and we didn't know what, and I told her, we're going to get out of here. I'm guiding her out of this underground area. And then there's a symbol in my mind. Plain as day is the number 7, a great big X, and then the number 11. And I thought, you know, then I woke up from that, and I remember telling her about it. And I go, that was really weird, and the symbol at the end was so powerful. I mean, it's just dominating. There's no forgetting it. So we went out to breakfast with my mom later that morning, and I look up, and there's something happened on the TV. They've got a TV in the little restaurant. And it's a terrorist. It's an attack. It's a terrorist attack. I'm like, wow. I'm kind of watching it, and it was in the Spain, and it was in the subway, or the train station, or something like that. And I thought, of the railroad crossing sign. At least in America, I assume it's the same in other places. I don't know for sure, but it's a big X for meaning crossing. And I thought, I was like, wow, that's weird. It's like a railroad crossing. I was thinking of it. Then I immediately said, what's the date today? It was July the 11th, 7/11. And I don't know what any of that means, man. I don't know that sometimes I feel like we're logged into, and sometimes I feel like we log into something else, and that there's information being given to us, maybe taken from us, and that there's also something that we can log into and get access to stuff that we don't know how to contextualize or talk about or understand, or even how it fits into our belief system. And so I just wanted the opportunity to share my experiences and let other people know you're not nuts. You should talk about it. I think we should all share about it. I think it could be that we're kind of a text. We're all part of a text, you know, that we all have to bring a part of the story forward, perhaps. But it's been so stigmatized that the story will never be told, will never be understood. Maybe that will be the end of us, unless we can bring whatever this is that's touching us out into this realm so that we can talk about it together and learn from it and maybe stitch it together into, you know, something that will help us and maybe even save us one day. That's my thoughts and my experiences.
You know, the way I look at it, when you're saying about that we can get plugged into things of information, if you look at like the wireless network that uses radio waves, you know, you can't see these radio waves, but they are constantly flowing with information back and forth all over the world. So, you know, so there is definitely information out there that we can tune into, plug into, download, you know, however way you want to look at it, for sure.
I'll tell you I kind of had one of these last night, and a thought to me came to me, and it, not a thought, but a, it's trippy, Nick. It's so hard to put into words, because it's like, if I just sit there and let it happen, it's like concepts will come. My part of it is I have to kind of drape it with language or paint it with language. So they become concepts like that we can discuss. And it's tricky because if it's really a true thing, if I'm really experiencing something, it's hard because it naturally changes as soon as you talk about it. You've immediately stopped talking about it when you try to talk about it, if that makes any sense. And it's a lot like what you just said, that what I was getting last night, it was like that there is information or knowledge that's continually here. It's passing through this. I think the sense I got is that it's always there. It's passing through us. It's almost like we're transmitters, but we're not really aware of what we're transmitting and why. And I think if we can learn to stop and really kind of listen to it, for all we know, all knowledge is flowing through us now. We just don't know how to listen to it or access it, really. The gist of what I think I was being, I don't want to say shown, man. I don't know. It's so, it seems like that's what was manifesting itself for me last night, I guess is a better way to put it. I almost feel like now we're getting really into my personal kind of interpretations of all this. And so I just always say, take that with a grain of salt. But I feel like we're being made to build something. You know, I don't know, man. I just feel like there's something that's flowing right now, and it's moving us along and it's changing us. I mean, everything, something with the wireless and the technology and computers and all that stuff, it's what is it? We're creating virtual realities. We've got AI now. We're going to start creating, you know, we're working on robots. I don't know, man. It feels like something's, we're a conduit. I feel like we're a conduit for something. If that makes any sense at all.
It does make sense, yeah. It does make sense. It's a bit like, I don't know, it's a bit like putting your head through a wall, then seeing what's going on next door's room, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree. And again, the thing with the five stones, I feel like I was being shown something there. That was, I feel like, something that came to me. You know, something allowed me to see that, or something presented that to me. But some of these other things are more like, again, like it's, if we go to the internet analogy, all this information is flowing through. I think it's accessible, and it's just a matter of allowing the concepts to somehow manifest themselves and capturing them. I don't know if I can even capture what I'm trying to say here, but I don't know. Just really lately, I've been considering that, because it seems like that's what's happening. Something's flowing through, figuring out more and more how to allow it to, how to capture it, I suppose, how to capture the bits of information and start to share it or talk about it, or because you do, it really is capturing something. It's something that's flowing through. It's concepts. I have to let myself kind of interpret it and grab it and then try to pull it through. But like I said before, and I think a lot of people say, is it's hard to even trust yourself. I'm skeptical of my own self, you know, my own interpretations and what I'm bringing and what I'm experiencing.
All souls gaze upwards forever.
Yeah.
Has meaning somehow, doesn't it? There's meaning to that.
I believe in synchronicities, and well, I guess more lately, I've always kind of suspected something funny about that. Coincidence is weird. Coincidence is a different way of looking at synchronicities and vice versa. Not long after I got that, I was watching stuff on the internet, and I saw a man giving a talk. He died in the middle of giving a talk. And his eyes rolled back in his head. And that made me think, I don't know. It just struck me with that saying came back to me again, all souls gaze upwards forever. I don't know, man. There is something to it. I think for me, the more powerful is walk with the chosen wall by wall and find it was a prison after all. I really believe that if we think that, you're probably familiar with Graham Hancock and how he's kind of reinterpreting human history, I guess, for lack of a better term. But the powers that be, these established powers that be that have, you know, they've got university jobs, they've written novels, and I mean, they've written books, and they've written books about books, and they've utilized all those that came before them's research to justify their research. Now you've got a guy that comes out and says something different. There's a complete backlash, and if the chosen are those who find themselves in power, those are the quote unquote chosen. They find themselves in places in power, and we just walk in lockstep with what the interpretation of life and UFOs and sociology and all these things point to. We're becoming complicit to a narrative that we have no part in, and therefore we are imprisoned by the concepts of others instead of really being a instrument of interpretation and experience and interpretation and learning. The things that we trust the most are the things that imprison us, it seems. If that makes sense. Or can imprison us. Yeah, I just feel like it's a message to live your life, to be confident in your experience, to experience for yourself and be bold about it. Be bold about experience and bold about what you see and what you learn, and who cares if it doesn't fit in the box?
Exactly. I mean, as soon as we're born, we're starting to be molded into something.
Agreed. Molded into something to fit into a system.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's sinister. I don't think it's sinister. You know, there's others out there that think there's this massive sinister plot, and maybe there is, but I just think it's a thing that's happened over time. I do think, and this is, I don't even know that I can begin to talk about this, but I just feel that it's, you know, all these concepts and ideas that we interpret the world through, it's all false. Of course, I mean, it's all false. I mean, the numbers are real. I don't know what else is, though. They're just ways to interpret and to classify, you know? And I truly believe while it serves a purpose, it's unfortunately become such a dominant force in the way that we think that we're blind. I don't know. I had another last night too, some ruminations while I had a weird thought, man. So the story of Adam and Eve, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That has never made sense to me in my life. Why wouldn't God or whatever power there may be want us to have knowledge of good and evil? And all of a sudden it dawned on me, maybe good and evil is just 0-1. Maybe we weren't supposed to figure something out, and we did. And maybe that's math, man. Maybe it's physics and math. And maybe we're on the verge of breaking out of whatever we're locked into. Let's think about this. He kicks us out. God supposedly kicked. We eat from the tree. We're kicked out. We've got an angel, the flaming sword, to hold us out of it. None of that makes sense to me, unless it is like a prison. And we're to be held here because we learned something that we weren't supposed to know. And if you think further down with Babel, when we started figuring out again, and then he confused us, he confused language. And it makes me wonder too, what is the angel with the flaming sword? Is an angel with a flaming sword a strange disc in the sky? Sometimes I wonder, are we being held here? And I would say this too, man. Nick, if your neighbor comes over to your house, you don't know them very well, and they come in, you're guarded. You have to be guarded to some point, especially if you walk in your house, your neighbor's already there, or you wake up at night, your neighbor's there. You invite them, but they're there. And I'm sorry if I step on anyone's toes by saying this, but I just hear so many people saying that, talking about the good intentions and the peaceful intentions of whomever the others may be. They're coming in without asking. They're logging in without asking. They're taking without asking. I don't know that that's to be completely trusted. I don't. I wouldn't trust anyone coming into my house without my inviting them. And if they're coming into my mind without my invite, without asking permission, which obviously they can do, they can come into my mind. And I don't, I think is to be, one must be careful.
Yeah. Certainly exercise caution for sure. Of course.
Yeah. I've heard too, the NIDS guys that study Skinwalker Ranch. I'd heard that, maybe it was, I don't know, Bass guys or the NIDS guys. I don't know. But someone along, we all try to stay away from religion just because it's hard to talk about and it's easy to offend and everyone's got, and some people have very entrenched beliefs. And I for one, will say that I have certain beliefs, but I'm really flexible with them. But I've heard a couple people that were associated with Skinwalker Ranch say that the reason that some people thought that it might be a demonic force there was because it seemed to back off them with prayer. And so I just say that because I feel like there might be something powerful with, I believe there's a goodness. I don't know what it is. We can call it God. We can call it some force. We can call it, logging into the right kind of programming that we're associated with. I don't know what it is, but there seems to be a power in it. And I think that those of us who have experiences and maybe are looking to have more, need to make sure that however you arm yourself, make sure you can figure out a way to protect yourself in some way. And if that's through prayer or through meditation or through setting touchstones or words that you can conjure up for yourself that will help you to pull out of whatever situation you've got into, I think that's wise, to put a rope around your ankle in one way or another so that you can make sure that you're going to be okay.
Yeah, I've heard, people recounting Lord's prayers, not just in Christian belief, but in different, Buddhism as well, when they've been in this spiritual danger, people have recounted stuff and then it's helped them in some way.
Hmm. Yeah, it certainly has me. Two occasions I really went to it, actually three of those occasions I really went to it in prayer. And one I said, I'm done. I was so frightened by it. By having something attached, feeling like something was attached to me and putting something in me, that I said, I'm done with this. And only until recently did I start becoming open to re-engaging with it, Can I tell you one other experience I had I forgot to mention?
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
So again, dreamlike state, not asleep, but working on it. And I become aware that I'm in something like space, and there's something like Earth there. It's way smaller. It's got an atmosphere. And I think I'm gonna go down in there, see what that is. And I can't. I can, but I can't. And I become aware that I'm not allowed to cross a certain plane unless I leave my memory behind. And it's a weird concept, but it's like, these concepts come to you in your mind that they're not spoken, they're not shown to you, they're just there. It's like you can't go in here with your memory. But I wanted to keep my memory. So I just kind of kept skimming the outside. I was going along the top of the atmosphere. And I was able to fall through, and I realized I've got my memory. How I know that, I don't know, but I did. And so I'm above a sea, and it's just like in a movie where you've got a camera tracking over the top of an ocean. Maybe they're using a helicopter to do it. Who knows? Anyway, I'm going to the top of the ocean. There's an old ship. Looks like a pirate ship. And I come to the pirate ship, and I have no body that I'm aware of, just kind of a consciousness. But boy, they can see me. And they were scrambling for me. And I realized that I was some sort of portal to them. And one of them jumped up and reached and grabbed a hold of me and was trying to pull himself through. And I got the sense that he wanted to experience life, or he wanted to experience this life. This realm that we're in now was something that being wanted to come into for whatever reason. Very eager, all of them, but the one just got there. Somehow I was able to feel like I shook him off. I don't really know. But the next thing I know, I'm in a small boat, again, very foggy, and I'm coming up to an island. I get out on the rocks. There's rocks, and there's an old tree there that's a dead tree. And somehow I know that there's someone here. There's a group of them, and I somehow know that they're by a fire, and they're speaking. I know that they're somehow, I know this, that they're speaking like myth or symbolism, or it was an association with Homer,
your Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey.
But I just have a sense that there's more to that than what we know. Okay. And this is kind of something I'm kind of thinking about now that I can't really talk further on because I don't really know what I think yet, but there's something I think special in symbol and perhaps poetry that we don't know, something magical about it. I think. And anyway, that's what's being woven in my life. I want to be a writer. And so I thought, I want to come and be a part of that group. And so, but I knew I wasn't supposed to be there. So I kind of hide behind this tree, and I hear someone coming. I hear them breathing. And I kind of turn, and there's this old man, very old man, and he's powerful. And he reaches and he grabs me by my lapel. He pulls me to his face, and he says, "You don't belong here," and screams it at me. And just like with the, All Souls Gaze Upwards Forever, I was shot out of this sleep state, sat up straight in my bed, again, heaving, out of breath. It's like I was expelled from it, not waking up. I was expelled from it. And this is years ago. So my girlfriend at the time, she looks at me and she's frightened. I see a look of terror in her eyes. And I said, hold on. I said, I thought she was reacting to me bolting up like that. I said, hold on. I'm okay. I just had this dream and I told her the dream. When I got to the point where the guy was scrambling to kind of get into the portal that I was, she got emotional. And she said, "The reason I was scared when you sat up was you didn't look like you." And I don't know what to make of that. But again, you know, I think we take for granted, you know, we call ourselves humans. We don't know what the hell we are. We don't know what any of this is. And, you know, human is just part of a categorization and words and sounds and clicks that we all put together to make sense of this place. But we don't really know what any of this is. And God knows, maybe we are portals, and or, you know, maybe he was logging in to me, like I think is perhaps possible. And perhaps we can sense that somehow. And, you know, I often think that maybe that's when people kind of go nuts out of nowhere. I mean, it's, who knows? Who knows what really happens in that, you know? We look at chemicals and in this and that and chemical imbalances, but we don't really know what that is either. We can see an imbalance. We can see too much or not enough of a chemical. But what's actually causing that at a quantum level or at a spiritual level, we just don't know.
Absolutely. I mean, all you got to do is look at your desk or you look at your chair and you're looking at it and that's 99.999% air.
Yes, man. Yeah, everything is, right?
Right.
You know, I'll tell you, a client of mine the other day, she'd lost her her husband of 40-something years, had divorced her and just left her and married someone else. And out of nowhere, she just says, I was going to kill myself. I was praying that God would take me. And if he didn't, I was thinking about killing myself. That's just not something that you really tell many people, let alone your insurance broker.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very sad.
She, but to her, it is. It's, you know, tragic. But to her credit, well, maybe to God's credit, I don't know. I mean, she had a really interesting experience too, Nick, where she was praying that God would take her in a car crash, and she had three of them in a year, and the last one, and she's like in her late 70s, and in her last one, she thought that she saw angels and beings coming for her, but then realized that it wasn't her time, and they kind of backed away from her, but it gave her faith and hope.
And that's just what she needed at that time.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, I hope she's doing good now.
She seems to be. She's a wonderful lady. You know what she does? She takes care of mentally challenged adults. And she calls them her kids. She doesn't have any kids of her own. She calls them her kids. She owns three or four houses, and she takes care of all of them. They all live in her homes, and she gets them to their doctor's appointments, and they basically live with her until they pass away. She's like a saint.
Well, that's why she wasn't. That's why she didn't go, because she's needed. She's needed here.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But hey, thanks for your time, Nick, and thanks for letting me talk about it. I appreciate what you do, and for being such an open-minded person to give us all somewhere to talk and share and not feel like we're losing a friend as we're telling them, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I really appreciate you coming on today and sharing all that, Brian, you know, and that this is why I created it, is so people can have somewhere. Because I mean, of course there's the entertainment side where people listen for entertainment, but then you got the other side of it where people can come on and express and talk about stuff, which a lot of times they've never told nobody ever. And then you have people listening, which have had similar things, which, you know, they can't put into any context whatsoever.
I bet you, I'm almost willing to bet money that everybody has something like this, because I'll tell you that you just learn to discount it or explain it away. Potentially triggers it, like it happened with me. Strangely enough, it was Lou Elizondo coming out about UFOs and seeing that damn gun footage. You know, I feel like Richard Dreyfuss in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. I swear, I mean, I became obsessed immediately, because it awoke something in me that I kept trying to put to sleep. I think it's part of the human condition. I just think that either people block it out or they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I agree.
That's why we should all talk about it. Share.
No matter how small, you know, or insignificant people may find it to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, there's the one side we're afraid to talk about, and there's the other side that it's exciting to be able to talk about it, you know?
Yeah. Really appreciate you coming on today, man.
All right, sure. Appreciate the invitation, and best of luck to you.
Well, that's all we have time for tonight. Thank you for listening. And if you've had an experience you would like to share with us, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. I will be back next week. Stay safe and keep watching the skies.
lonely road late at night. And all I see is the late great face of my worst enemy. And that was you.
Son, and now I die.